This is Mark McNeese, and you're listening to One Thing or Another, Interviews and Conversations. Welcome to the podcast. This is your host, Mark, and today I have a guest on that I've wanted to talk to for quite some time, but never have. His name is Jim Miller. He is the syndicated columnist who puts out Savvy Senior for older Americans and their families. It's published in nearly 300 newspapers and magazines. Jim is also a contributor on NBC's Today Show and KFOR-TV in Oklahoma City. He's the author of The Savvy Senior, The Ultimate Guide to Health, Family and Finances for Senior Citizens, put out by Hyperion. He's frequently quoted in articles about issues affecting senior citizens, and that's what he's on here today to talk about. I've been fortunately running his columns for a while now on my site, lgbtsr.com. So, Jim, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I've communicated with you many times. It's got to be like 4 or 5 years now. And you don't know what someone sounds like. You know, I can only imagine. Yeah. Jim Miller, what does he sound like? I know what you look like from your picture, but it's really good to finally talk to you. And you're in Norman, Oklahoma.
I am.
Is that a really small town? I'm curious about Norman.
Yeah, well, it's a suburb of Oklahoma City, and it's where the University of Oklahoma is. So it's population, it's about 150,000. And it's part of the metro area, and Oklahoma City's about 1.5 million. So it's not a small town. It's a college town, but it's got good schools. So a lot of people that work in Oklahoma City live in Norman because they want to send their kids to Norman public schools. So, yeah, it's a good place.
Are you a native?
No, I grew up in Kansas, in southeast Kansas, a little tiny town, and went to college at Kansas State. And then I went to graduate school at Wichita State, and my first job was down here at OU in the athletic department, and that was back in 1988, and I have been here ever since. I worked in the athletic department for 8 years, and then I went out on my own, and I just never left because, I don't know, I didn't have to, because you don't have to really, you can live anywhere these days.
That's very true, and this also helps cover part of my first question, which was the 411 on Jim Miller, you know, where you're from and all of that. I'm curious to know how you got into writing a syndicated column, but first a little bit about the definition. We were talking before I started recording about senior. I had started my website when I was 52, which was 10 years ago. I'm 62 now. And there are still people who would not consider me a senior because they draw some sort of arbitrary red line. You have to be 65 years or older to be a senior, but that's not really true.
Well, I don't think any. It just depends. I mean, some people don't want to ever be called a senior.
Oh, that's true.
Baby boomers are really bad about that. I mean, like you said, 65 is what the government says is a senior. That's the term they use, but AARP doesn't use the term at all. A lot of publications that are targeted for older adults, they don't use the word senior because they don't want to offend anybody. But, you know, I mean, I'm 57, and if you were to call me a senior, I wouldn't even think about it because I'm in the industry. I don't care. But it just depends. But it's a term that they used many years ago, and it's stuck around. But there's certain groups that are just trying to get rid of it completely, and AARP is one of them.
Yeah, boy, that's a long side conversation because you're right. There are people who don't like the word senior, but there's also an entire culture that refuses to use the word old, which I find. It annoys me because there's nothing wrong with being old. Trees get old. Animals get old. George Carlin, many years ago, the late George Carlin, said in one of his, you know, his routines, he said, nobody gets old anymore. Everybody's older. So you're just older until you're 105. And then you pass away and everybody says how sad it was, you know, gone too soon, you know.
There you go.
So I don't have a problem with the word senior at all. And at least my website, it's sr.com. So maybe I can sort of say it without saying it. I don't know. But have you had any push back on the column? You've been doing it a long time, but has anybody ever said, you know, oh, you, the savvy senior, I don't know?
You know, when I started, I was 38, and I've had people ask me all the time, what's a young guy know about aging issues? And I'm like, well, you know, I mean, it's the same thing with a doctor. You don't have to be sick to be a doctor. You know, I don't have to be old to know about issues that affect older Americans. You just have to know your beat. And my beat covers, you know, a wide variety of topics for older adults that range anywhere from retirement to caregiving to end of life issues. I mean, I cover literally just about everything you can think of over at one point or another. I have done it in the 19 years I've been doing the column. So, yeah.
What inspired you to do this, to write this column?
Well, it spurred from my parents. Back in 1999, my mom got breast cancer, and my parents were older. My dad was 78, my mom was 73, so I was kind of their part-time. Oops, I was their part-time caretaker, that went on for about a year, year and a half, and then my mom got really ill. She was in the hospital. And right before she died, my dad had a heart attack and died. And then a couple weeks later, my mom passed away from breast cancer. So they both died right at the same time. And so I was really, really kind of lost when that happened, because I didn't expect my dad to die at all, at that point anyway. And so to help me with my grieving process, I started doing some volunteer work at a retirement community in Norman. I just thought it would be a nice way to kind of help get through the process, being around people my parents' age. And it was very good. It really helped me. So while I was there, I started writing a column for the local newspaper called the Rivermont Response. It was a question answer column. It was supposed to help promote the retirement community and then answer people's questions. Excuse me. So I started that, and I got a big response, and that's kind of how it started, as I started the Rivermont Response. And then after about a year, I had left the retirement community, and I kept the column going, and I got an idea that maybe I could maybe do this on a bigger scale, you know, because it was kind of fun and I was learning a lot. And so I met with some newspaper editors about how do I go about syndicating the column in many papers, because that was just running in the Norman Transcript at the time. So I talked to several different editors, and they gave me some information, and I put a little pitch pack together, and I came up with a name and created the website, and that's when I started it back in 2002.
And is there a The? I know it's The Savvy Senior, the book, but because I think it's Savvy Senior, and I've been saying The Savvy.
It's just Savvy Senior. The book is called The Savvy Senior just because it flows a little better, but the column is just Savvy Senior.
That's good to know. I'm going to fix that. Now, where do you get your ideas for the columns? Because you're putting out a column every week.
I do, yeah. It's a question answer column, so it's kind of like Dear Abby, if you will. People write in and ask questions on issues or information, whatever they want to know, and then I provide answers to that. A lot of content comes from questions from readers. And then I also do a senior newswire service. So I am constantly reading what other people are writing that's relevant to older adults, pre-retirees, caregivers, everything. So I have a really good pulse of what's out there and what's being written. And then when laws change that affect Medicare or retirement plans or whatever, I keep up with that. And then I can implement that into the column as well. So I'm always reading stuff that's relevant to older people. So I have a pretty good archive and a lot of information that I keep up with that I'm able to share with people.
How often is the Newswire put out?
It's weekly. It comes out every Monday. And so the Newswire, I started doing it when I started the column because I wanted to just keep up with what other people were writing and get story ideas. And so what it is I scan about oh gosh, probably 25 publications, like the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and U.S. News and World Report and Health Day, and I mean there's just a whole bunch of publications that I always look for articles that are relevant to boomers and seniors, and then when I find stuff that's good, I create a link to it and I put it into my file. So every Monday you're going to get the very best of articles that are written in publications all over the country that comes into your inbox every single Monday. The stuff that I have read that I found relevant, I put in the newswire. And it's usually 20 to 25 articles each week. And it's just a great way to stay informed on issues and topics that are relevant to older adults. But you can, the website, it's just seniornewswire.org. Is the place, or you can go to my website at savvysenior.org and you can sign up. It's completely free to be able to get.
I did subscribe, and that's why I got to check and make sure it's not going into my spam folder.
It might be.
Because I've been subscribed for a while. I really like it. That might even be how I found you. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Now I have a question about syndication. Not to bore anybody who doesn't want to syndicate a column, but did you cold call? How did you get your clients? I mean, I'm sure it took time.
Yeah, it took a year. So what I did is I got when I started, I got media guides from every state press association that listed all the papers in the states. And then I sent out a pitch packet kit, like an actual physical pitch packet of some sample columns and pricing and all that. So I sent the pitch packet kit to each newspaper in a state, and then I followed up with phone calls. And it was an enormous amount of work. I mean, I went from state to state. I usually took about three states at a time because, you know, at the time, back in 2002, there were probably around 7,000 daily and weekly newspapers across the country. And I just went state to state. It took a whole year to do it. And I went from one paper and just chipped away and got to be in 400 at the time. And, you know, heck, Mark, I never thought it was going that well because, I mean, I was turned down probably 96 or 7% of the time. So, I mean, I was getting so many no's and every, I get an occasional yes, but, you know, I mean, to be in 400 papers, I mean, at the time I was in one of the, a top 10 columnists in the country as far as being in amount of newspapers go, because there's so many papers that are out there, but that's how I did it. I just did pitch packets and phone calls. And then since then, I still do pitch packets. I mail out a pitch packet, but now I use a service called Gebbe Press that just provides all of the addresses, and I send out a pitch packet about every 3 or 4 years, and then I just to keep new clients coming in and keep people aware of Savvy Seniors so they can buy it if they want to.
Is that Gebbe, G-E-B-B-Y?
G-E-B-B-I-E Press.
Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And the newspaper
I was writing it down.
Yeah, the newspaper industry's taken such a huge hit with COVID too. I would venture to say, at least 5% of the newspapers across the country have closed their doors because of COVID, because of advertising has dried up, and so many newspapers have just barely been getting by anyway. I mean, the newspaper industry is really, it's dying. It's a dying industry,
yeah, sure.
And COVID sped it up about 10 years. So I used to think that the newspaper industry would outlive me, and I'm not so sure anymore that if I don't outlive the newspaper industry, because it's really tough times for print. But that's just the world we live in. That's the changes coming.
I worked at Reuters for 11 years, which was one of the world's largest news providers. Not a newspaper, of course, but. There's just a little bit of a connection there. Are you then online for the most part on their online editions?
Well, I mean, I make money by selling my column to newspapers, and mm-hmm. then so newspapers can print it, put it online if they want.
Okay.
So if you Google Savvy Senior, you're going to find tons of stuff from different papers. And I put my column on my website too, on the homepage. that usually it's a week older, it's a week behind. But you can see it online. But you can, if you Google Savvy Senior, you're going to find Savvy Senior stuff all over the place out there.
Now, are there a few more common questions that you get? I know you get all different kinds of questions, but do more of them deal with retirement and finances or health? I'm just curious about that.
Well, by far the most common question I get is in regards to Social Security, because it affects everybody and it's complicated and everybody's trying to figure out how to get more money. And especially if you're divorced or, you know, somebody's spouse has died, or, and there's so many rules, and I'm not an expert on Social Security, but I know quite a bit, and I probably do, oh goodness, I probably do 5 or 6 Social Security columns, you know, each year on different topics. But that's probably the most, because, and the questions that I get are real specific. So I usually don't make a column out of the questions I get, because they're real specific to their specific need or want. And so, but that's by far the most common question I get, is in regards to Social Security.
That made me, well, by the way, I started collecting at 62. So last December was my first payment, because I wanted to not take any more money out of my retirement accounts. And that's, I work in a grocery store now. I used to make a lot of money, but I work in a grocery store and I'm fine with that. But I was having to supplement that with my retirement account, and I didn't want to do that. So I chose to start taking it at 62. A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
But that's what worked for me, because now I have this set income every month for the rest of my life. You know,
most financial experts would say use your retirement funds and let your Social Security grow. And if you were to talk to me beforehand, I would have said wait, but okay. Everybody's different and they have different needs and so forth. But I wrote a column not long ago about, when do most people take their Social Security? They have all the statistics, the SSA website, and the most popular age that people take their Social Security is 62, just like what you did. I think it's about 35%. But more and more people are pushing it back. But it's just one of those deals. The longer you wait, the more you get. And if you live long, it really pays off. It can pay off benefit quite a bit if you live, you know, well up into your 80s. That's the one thing you don't know is when you take Social Security is when you're going to die. So, I mean, it's always a bit of a roll of the dice, but, you know, people are living longer than ever before. So, most financial people and SSA would say the same thing. It's better to wait if you can, but if you can't, then, you know, that's what it's there for.
Well, I didn't call you 6 months ago, but I'm okay. I'm married. I'm financially set. It's not really an issue for me, yeah. But I know it would be much more of a concern for a lot of people. Now, do you, you just made me think of something when you brought that up. Do you respond to most of the people that, write to you, even though you don't make columns out of it?
No, I don't. Okay. I just don't have time to.
Right.
If people ask a question that's easy to answer, or if it's a quick turnaround, or if they want a copy of a column, sure. But if they ask a real complex question that would take hours to research and to look into, that I can't. I just don't have the time to do that. So I answer what I can. But if you're gonna send me a 3-page email of real specific information, then I'm not gonna be able to. I just don't have the resources or the time to do that. So I do what I can.
I'm guessing most of them understand that too. They know that they're submitting a question to Savvy Senior, the column, and not to you personally.
Yeah.
Just a couple more questions in terms of what's out there for older Americans and older people. Do you have an opinion on that? Do you think that there's, like when I started this site 10 years ago, there was not much out there for older LGBT people. And I ended up being asked to speak at this convention, whatever it was, because there was so little out there that the person putting it together found me. you know?
Yeah.
But now there's a lot out there, and I don't know. It's maybe there's enough for older Americans, and I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, there's a lot out there, but I mean, I think a lot of people, they still don't know where to turn, or, you know, I mean, a lot of people, they don't think about aging issues until it slaps them right in the face. You know, I mean, a lot of people don't know the basics of how Social Security works, and a lot of people don't know the basics of Medicare and what Medicare covers. So, I mean, I spend a lot of time on Medicare too, because I think Social Security gets more press and more attention than Medicare does. But Medicare it's also a huge area of concern and something that I think people get confused about. And Social Security too, it's a complex thing. There's lots of different rules and there's lots of variations and it just depends on there's so many things that the factors that play into your Social Security benefits and to Medicare as well. And Medicare has so many choices these days because, you know, you got traditional Medicare, Medicare Part A and Part B, and now Medicare Advantage has become very prominent, and then they got Medicare, you know, Part D for prescription drugs, and then you got Medigap policies, and then you mix that in with your employer, it gets very confusing. So there's a lot out there, but I think a lot of people don't think about it until they have to get it, and they need it simplified. Because a lot of people just, what do I need to get? Because to sort through it and to figure it out is complex. So, I mean, I think that's kind of where I come in. And I keep up with things, you know, very closely. And so I know new stuff that's out there. So as an example, I just wrote a column about how to get cheaper home internet services. And there is a couple of programs that just started. One of them is a service called Aging Connected that leads you to be able to find low cost internet services in your area. And so I keep up with things that inform people that they probably wouldn't know about. So there's a lot out there, but there's so much that's out there, it kind of makes you dizzy. And you don't know where to start. You're overwhelmed, and you just don't know where to go. And then you don't know where to trust either, because the internet is not necessarily some reliable, trustworthy source. There's a lot of great sources on there that are that way, but there's a lot of them that are scams, and that scares a lot of older people too, because they don't have maybe the digital experience that a younger person has, because they just haven't done it or used it as much. So
yeah, there's a lot of scams out there. Even once in a while, I will fall for something like I wanted to see how much would it cost me to go on the ACA instead of COBRA when the time comes. And there's a thing, looks totally upfront. Find out what you click on it, and it's they just want your information. They want your phone number. They want all this crap.
Yeah. There is that. There is a lot of that, you know, and a lot of people are really scared about that. And, you know, another big thing is, I mean, they've done studies on this. A lot of older adults are one of the big purveyors of fake news from Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And because they just don't, I mean, and so now there's a whole bunch of resources. I've done a couple of columns on this, is how to recognize fake news. And because it's a huge problem, And like I said, older adults are the biggest purveyors of that. They're the ones that share it the most, by far, from Facebook, through their Facebook feeds. I've talked about different online classes that you can take that can help you identify it, and resources that can help you double check, you know, stuff that you're reading. So that's big as well. So. There's so much. There's just so much that's beneficial to people, and my column has been very gratifying, because I feel like I'm making a difference in a small way. I'm helping people get answers and you know, giving them resources that they might not know about that can hopefully help improve their life.
Well, I have been I've just been really enjoyed sharing your columns. I know my readers like it, and I was really happy to finally get to talk to you. You're very good interview. You're easy to talk to. I want to say coherent, but
yeah,
it was a really good interview. Now, how can people find you? What are your URLs? And That sort of thing.
Well, if they want to find me, you can just go to my website. It's Savvy Senior, and Savvy has two V's in it. It's SavvySenior.org. If you would like to see the column in your local paper, call your editor at your local community paper and say, add the Savvy Senior column, and they can add it. My column is cheap to newspapers. I charge anywhere between $3 and like $15 per week, just depending on the size and the circulation of the paper. So it's super cheap, and I mean, it really, it's a great fit when you think about who reads the newspaper anymore. Older people do, pretty much predominantly, that's it. And my column, so the most popular, I don't know if a lot of people, I find this to be kind of a fun statistic, the most popular page or pages of any newspaper in the country is the obits section of the newspaper.
Oh,
It's
that's
by far
funny.
the most read section of any newspaper. So my column runs right next to the obits section in all these little papers all over the country. So it's a great fit, I mean, older people, that's, I think that's one of the things, one of the areas of the newspaper industry that will help small community newspapers be able to stay afloat for at least in maybe another 10 years or so, is the obit section,
The obits,
because
yeah.
that's the only way you know how people die in your community. I mean, there's not like a, I mean, there are websites out there that link with newspapers, but small papers don't do that. So if you want to find out about, who passed away in your area, then your newspaper is really it. And so, anyway, so my column is a great fit for that. It ties it right in with the obits section of the paper. So, but I cover a lot of stuff that's not relevant to death. I do everything. I pre-retirees all the way, and I do a lot of caregiving stuff. I get so many questions from people that are caring for an aging parent. They don't know what to do or where to turn. Or I do a lot on I do a lot on technology. That's a thing. The digital divide that we've experienced with COVID, and because people that weren't tech savvy were isolated and lonely, and then seniors that did have some tech savvy and were able to do video calls. It's a huge difference in their mental attitudes and their quality of life. And so, yeah, I mean, there's just the list goes on and on. I don't ever run out of things to write about. It's more time than it is, the topics are going to be there. So,
My last question
yeah.
about all of this, do you have a kind of work schedule, or do you, because it sounds like you do so much that you've got to be busy most of the time.
Well, so my column, I mean, I've gotten to the point, I mean, I've done it for so long, I have it down. Some columns take a lot more time than others because I have to do interviews or call people. So I spend probably, I don't know, 25, 30 hours a week on Savvy Senior. And I also, I mean, I do a lot of side, I do a lot of, I have hobby jobs. I do some contract work with OU, the University of Oklahoma, and I have some rental properties, so I manage them, and so I mean that's kind of my life now. I don't my I hope to do the column as long as I'm capable, as long as I'll never quit doing it. So I'll keep doing it forever, so but it doesn't it's not it's not. Full, I mean, it is. It could be full time. I do with my newswire, my newsletter, and my column. I probably spend about 30 hours a week, and then the rest of the stuff I do contract work, and I do some freelance writing too, and I also do some corporate stuff. And so, I mean, I do a hodgepodge of different things, but the column and Savvy Senior and my newswire is what takes the majority of the time.
Well, Jim, I'm glad you're doing that. I really like reading it. I like having it as part of my site. It's nice to have a consistent, weekly, regular feature like that. And you are indeed very inexpensive. Otherwise, I couldn't afford it. But I just learned so much from it, and it's been an absolute delight to talk to you finally.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you having me on. One of the things, Mark, when I started is I mean, price was, I had a lot of editors like, you need to charge more money because, but it's like, I always wanted, I mean, newspapers have a zillion reasons why they don't want to add you to their, you're not from here, they didn't have any budget. I just didn't want price to be a issue. So I'd rather be in 400 papers, making a little bit of money on each paper than be in 50 papers or 100 papers and making a lot more. Because, I mean, I'd rather have a bigger readership and make a little bit less money. So, and it's worked out pretty well for me. I think if I would have started out by charging a lot more money, or say $5 to $10 per week versus 3 to 5, I would have been in half as many papers as I would have got in. So it made a huge difference. So.
Jim, thanks again. It was great talking to you, and I just put out your one of your columns today. So everybody, this has been Jim Miller with Savvy Senior. Check him out. It's a wonderful resource, and it's been great to have you on.
All right, Mark, thanks for having me, and thanks for posting my stuff on LGBT Senior.
Yes. All right. Have a good day, Jim.
Okay, all right, thanks. Take care.
This is Mark McNeese, and you've been listening to One Thing or Another, Interviews and Conversations.